It's good to be with you guys tonight. I do want to take a few minutes because I am so grateful to Brother Isaac Slape and Calvary here in Muldrow. You guys have been a true blessing to me and my family for several years now. I appreciate a man of God that's willing to take time out of his schedule and check on a missionary, check on a brother, and check on a friend. And what a blessing Brother Isaac Slape has been to me and my family. I have no doubt that he loves me, loves my wife and my boys and my little girl. I have no doubt that Calvary loves us also. Amen. You guys have blessed us in so many ways, and for that we are thankful. We are grateful, and we're blessed. We've been blessed with a church van from Calvary here in Muldrow. Just want to give you a little report on that. We got insurance on the van now, and I was shocked. It was only $35 a month. So I was like, yeah, that's nice. So Danny, my son, who's filling in for me tonight, we're going to be changing the belt, little squealy belt, and he's already picking up 8 to 12 kids every Wednesday night. We're using the minivan, Mama's minivan right now. We call him a soccer mom right now, but he's going to be bumping up to the church van here real soon. But we're so grateful for the church van, Artesia. We go back a little while, with Calvary, and Artesia sent me a text, and I'll never forget it. It was like, hey, you want another van? And I was like, yeah, that'd be great, because when we were in Henderson, Calvary Landmark in Henderson, we got blessed with Oh Blue. Oh Blue. We even made a song. I won't sing it tonight, though. But that van was going strong when I left there after 10 years. And now we have Stan. That's what they call him. So now we have Stan the van. But you guys have been a blessing to us. The offerings every month, the prayers, the phone calls, the text. It makes it a little easier being away from family and friends, knowing that you have people praying for you and supporting you and loving you where you're at. So I just want to say thank you. And I just feel like you guys are partners in the ministry. So whatever fruit that avails out there, I want you guys to know that you're part of that. And we appreciate it so very much. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Danny Kennedy. I'm a missionary to Clovis, New Mexico, right? And yes, that is still in the U.S., okay? I remember we went in view of a call to our sending church, and, we're all suited up and dressed up. And when we left, we went to go to survey Clovis. And we stopped by the convenience store to change clothes. I didn't want to wear a suit for 12 hours. So we stopped and changed clothes, and as we came out to the cashier, we grabbed a Gatorade on the way out, and the young lady said, "Where are you guys headed?" I said, "We're headed to Clovis, New Mexico to go check out a mission work out there, possibly be missionary." She said, "That is so honorable for you to leave the country and go for the Lord." I just let it ride. And but yeah, it's a blessing to be here with you guys, and things are going well. God is blessing. Disciples are being made. I have wonderful stories if you'd like to hear those. But God is blessing. He's blessing spiritually, numerically, financially. If you want to hear the details of that, I'd be glad to let you know. But I'm ready to get into the Word of God. How about you?
Amen.
Amen. Let's go to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. The title of the message this evening is to be kingdom-minded. I want to look at John chapter 14, and let's begin reading, and this will be our jumping-off verse. Luke chapter 14 and verse 15. Luke chapter 14 and verse 15. Kingdom-minded. "And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. I want to encourage us tonight to be kingdom-minded people. Amen. Having our eyes turned towards heaven, looking forward to the glorious rapture when we shall meet the Lord in the air and be recommended into the glory of heaven. Looking forward to being in the presence of God the Father and our glorious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I would say I'm still a young man, but the older I get, the more I look forward to heaven. Amen. Every day here is another day closer, being home in heaven. Amen. With Jesus. Are you looking forward to heaven tonight? Amen. Is your mind on heavenly things? Amen. Tonight? I tell you what a blessing it'll be when Jesus comes for me. Amen. I began to contemplate the things of heaven this afternoon and thought about what a blessing it'll be to be gathered around the throne of God. To possibly sit at the feet of Jesus. Amen. To see Him gird Himself and sit down with us and we have communion with Him. To see Him face to face. To see Him in all of His glory. To eat bread in the kingdom of heaven. Let me read it one more time. Luke 14:15. And when one of them that sat at meat with Him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. I'm reminded of what Jesus said the last time He took communion with the disciples. Matthew 26:28 says, For this is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. How blessed it will be when we're seated in heavenly places taking bread or communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We as God's people ought to want to see everyone we come in contact with to share in that blessed experience. Amen. Listen to me, my friends. Please listen right now. But the only way a person eats bread with Jesus in heaven is if they partake of the gospel here on earth. I want you to look with me in Luke 14:16. Luke 14:16. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. For all things are now ready. We see the invitation to the gospel supper. The invitation to the gospel supper. Friends, it's late in the day. Evening is upon us. Supper is now ready. You can call me anything you want, but don't call me late for supper. I love me some groceries. Somebody say amen. Amen. I love food. I love eating. I love cooking. I love hosting. I love gathering around a table with friends, fellowshipping in the Word of God and in the Spirit of God. Amen. But there'll be no better fellowship, no greater fellowship than that with God. Amen. Taking communion with Him in heaven. Amen. Breaking bread with Him. In heaven, fellowshipping with Him in heaven. But the only way that happens is if we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior while on earth. Amen. I'm telling you, the days are getting darker. Giving us the opportunity to let the light of Christ shine even brighter. Amen. And every day that we're here, it's another day that heaven draws closer. Amen. Sooner and sooner I'll be with my Savior. Like I said, it's late in the day. The evening is upon us. Supper is ready. The meal has been prepared. The gospel has been made ready. The gospel supper is ready. What did Jesus say on the cross? He said, "It is finished." Amen. It's finished. The sacrifice has been made. The Father's will has been accomplished. Jesus Christ has made the atonement. He has become the propitiation of our sins. He has become the atoning victim of our sins. He has taken our place on the cross. He died for our sins. Our sin debt has been paid in full, and He wants to impute His own righteousness to our account. Amen. But the only way we're forgiven, the only way we're saved, the only way we're justified is by faith.
Amen.
And the gospel. Listen, He has given His life a ransom for many. He has given His body an offering and His blood for an atonement for our sin. He was buried according to the Jews and has risen according to the Scriptures.
Amen.
The gospel has been made ready for you to believe and to accept as truth. I love this. I love this. Romans chapter 3 and verse 22. The Bible says, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all who believe." I want you to see there's two different people groups there. And there may be two different people groups here tonight. The believing and the unbelieving. The saved and the unsaved. But I want you to know that Christ died for all.
Amen.
Upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be the propitiation, the atoning victim of our sin, through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God.
Amen.
Listen to me, my dear friend. Christ died for me. Christ died for you.
Amen.
And Christ died for all. I want you to know that the debt has been paid in full. I want you to know that the will of the Father has been finished. And that you, my friend, have been invited to partake of the gospel supper.
Amen.
To accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior.
Amen.
Listen, I've got to confess that every time I read this, it just doesn't hit me just right. But I want you to listen closely. The Bible says in John 6:51, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world." The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink the blood, and drink his blood, ye have no life in you.
Amen.
Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him." Have you accepted the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you believed on the only begotten Son of God? Have you received the sacrifice that He made for me and you? That He made for the church and the world? That He made for the saved and the lost? Are you kingdom-minded tonight? Do you have a home in heaven? Have you been forgiven? Have you been justified by the blood of the Lamb? Have you been robed in His righteousness? Are you being clothed in His character? Are you walking in love and walking in light and walking circumspectly that you might be the witness that God might have you to be. Simply stated, Christ died for all, that all might be saved. And listen, He is there to be, for us to believe, for us to receive, for us to partake, for us to accept. Say it however you want it, but you got to receive the gospel for yourself.
Amen.
You've got to receive the gospel for yourself. For by grace through faith are you saved. That not of yourself, it's the gift of God.
Amen.
Hear me tonight, dear sinner. You are loved, you are wanted, and you were accepted in the Beloved through faith in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I want you to keep reading with me there. Listen, there it says in verse 17, come, for all things are now ready. In verse 18, and they all with one consent began to make excuse. And they all began to make excuse. Will you read that with me? And they all began to make excuse. Have me excused. Have me excused. Have me excused. None of us are without excuse.
Amen.
I want you to know that all of us will stand before the Lord in judgment.
Amen.
Whether it be at the white throne judgment or the bema seat judgment, the judgment seat of Christ. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that He is Lord.
Amen.
The Old Testament says shall, the New Testament says should, and I say why not now?
Amen.
If we're going to do it in heaven, we ought to do it on earth.
Amen.
You know, I think about the glory of heaven, and I think about being with the Father. And you know what? I am blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed beyond measure that since going to Clovis, my little girl got saved.
Amen.
And I had the privilege of baptizing her.
Amen.
And I think to myself, if I would not have been obedient to the call of God, the will of God, and preached the glorious gospel to my little girl, not just at church, but at home. I want you to know that your family is your first ministry.
Amen.
And I'm blessed to know that my whole family is going to heaven.
Amen.
Since going to Clovis, my oldest son has surrendered to the gospel ministry.
Amen.
He's now been preaching for 2 years now.
Amen.
And you know what? He knows the good, the bad, and the ugly, and he did it anyway. Because he loves the Lord.
Amen.
If only we could teach people to love Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Mm. I want you to know that you're loved, that you're wanted, that you're accepted. But so many made excuses not to accept the gospel. And many are still making excuses.
Amen.
Today. I want you to look at a few of these excuses real quick. And I love it when God kind of opens our mind and opens our heart and we have an all-encompassing knowledge of the Bible to where that we can pull a few things together at best. Look at this with me in verse 18. He said, the first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Right? He said, listen, I have bought a piece of ground. And I want to say, everybody say possession. Everybody say possession. I wonder how many possessions today are keeping people out of heaven.
Amen.
Are keeping people from accepting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, I'm just going to be, I love you enough to tell you the truth. Anything you put before God is an idol.
Amen.
Anything you put before God is an idol. And idolatry is sin, and it's rebellion against God.
Amen.
And unbelief is a sin. And we can make all kind of excuses. But one day we'll stand accountable.
Amen.
I have bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it. Possessions. What about the rich young ruler? Right? He said, sell all you have and give it to the poor. And he walked away weeping, sorrowful, because he was rich. I wonder how many people today are not in the family of God, have not partaken of the gospel supper because idols, possessions are their idol. Look at verse 19. And another said, I have bought a yoke of oxen and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Listen to me. I know that we have to work for a living. I'm one of those missionaries that believe that you ought to work for what you want. And I've been bivocational, have my ministry. And I'll get a job tomorrow if that's what it takes to pastor Clovis Landmark Missionary Baptist Church. Whatever it takes, it's going to happen. And I ain't scared to work, but you ought not put your occupation before the Lord.
Amen.
Your possessions ought not come before the Lord, and your occupation ought not come before the Lord.
Amen.
I know you got to work for a living. Say amen.
Amen.
I know you got to work for a living. I know you got to feed your family. I know you got to support your local New Testament church. But don't you ever put a job before the Lord. Luke 14, 20. And another said, I've married a wife and therefore I cannot come. I'm going to tell you a lesson I learned and I'm not going to share it. Don't you ever put your family before the Lord.
Amen.
You can't love your wife like you ought to until you love Christ like you should. Don't put your kids before the Lord either.
Amen.
I'm going to say this, and I know it'll break hearts, and I'm not gonna tell the story. But I'm going to tell you, God gave them to you, and God can take them away.
Amen.
Don't put your possessions, occupations, or relations before the Lord. Y'all ready for the parallel? I want to ask y'all a question tonight. Is salvation and service tied together? I'm asking a question. Is salvation and service tied together? I'm not saying you got to work yourself into heaven. But if you're saved, you ought to serve.
Amen.
You don't get baptized to be saved. You get baptized because you are saved. But in the book of James, faith goes right along with works. And the Bible says faith without works is dead, being alone.
Amen.
And can that kind of faith save you? I believe this, that God did not save me just to go to heaven. If he did, I would have been gone at the young age of 9 years old. But he left me here to do a work. He left me here with a purpose. He left me here to be a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I believe that salvation and service go hand in hand.
Amen.
And if you are saved, you ought to be serving. Y'all ready? Y'all ready? Look, these things stood between them and salvation. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
These three things, possession, occupation, and relations, stood before them being saved.
Amen.
Stood in the way of them being saved. And I'm going to tell you, those same things will stand in the way of your service to God.
Amen.
Brother Danny, what are you talking about? How about if we go to Matthew 4:18, right? Matthew 4:18. Here it is, Jesus, after John the Baptist, the pre-runner of Christ, after that he's preaching the message of repentance, saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. By the way, that's still a good message today.
Amen.
Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And then they repent and they believe and they get baptized. And then here's Jesus walking along the shore of Galilee. And he says, come follow me and I'm fisher, make you to be fishers of men. Come follow me and I'll make you to be fishers of men. And it said they immediately, somebody say immediately. And they immediately, what'd they leave? What'd they leave? What'd they forsake? Huh? Hey, how about the ship? Possession. How about the net? The nets. The occupation. And what about their father? The relations. Listen to me, I'm going to tell you, if you're going to be saved, you can't make those excuses. If you're going to serve, you can't make those excuses. And I believe this, we are saved to serve.
Amen.
And that there is not a good enough excuse not to do neither.
Amen.
I'm going to get in trouble for this one. You love me, Brother Isaac? I don't think you can have one without the other. Salvation and service.
Amen.
I want you to think about that. Faith and works. It's not works for salvation.
Amen.
It's works because you have salvation. Listen, we talked about the invitation to the gospel supper. Number two, the instruction for us as servants. The instructions for us as servants. Luke 14:21, next verse. He called them, for all things are now ready. They made excuse after excuse after excuse. So in verse 21, so that the servant came and showed his Lord these things, then the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, go out, somebody say quickly. Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in the hither, the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. These are the instructions of the master to us, his servants. I want you to know that their excuses do not excuse us as his servants from our obligation and duty to invite people to the gospel.
Amen.
We cannot allow what others do with the gospel to influence what we do with the gospel. We're called to faithfulness.
Amen.
We're called to obedience. We're called to preach the gospel. Listen, I don't want to paint a false picture of God, the Father, as a tyrant. But I do believe that we can give that we can make him, that we can grieve him. And that he can become very angry with his people.
Amen.
For their disobedience, their rebellion, and their rejection of his son. The master was angry. The master was not happy. The master said, go out quickly. Listen, he said, come. Supper's ready. Right? Come. It is finished. I'm telling you guys right now, I'm not a prophet. I don't know when Jesus is coming back, but I do believe this. He's coming again one day.
Amen.
And ready or not, he'll be here. You read Matthew chapter 24. You better be watching. You better be ready. You better be faithful. And you better be found so doing.
Amen.
Are we kingdom-minded? Are we kingdom-minded? Is our mind on heaven? Are we thinking on heavenly things? Are we not only preparing ourselves, but preparing others for heaven? Listen, I believe this, that we ought to go with intentionality in all the city. What did he say? What did he say there? Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. I want to speak to this. There ought to be a bit of urgency. People are dying and going to hell on a daily basis.
our family, our friends, our co-workers, our fellow students. And we fail to be kingdom-minded. We fail to share the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe this, that we ought to reach people with intentionality. I know you get our reports, and I know that I report the doors that we knock on. That's intentional. You know why we have to be intentional? Because if not, we won't do it. We have to be intentional on being spiritual, or it won't happen. I read something. I love you guys. Please, please, please be gentle. But Sunday morning worship is a Saturday night decision.
Amen.
Mm. And you know what the root word of disciple is? Discipline. Right? It goes hand in hand. You can't be a disciple of Christ unless you're disciplined to follow after Christ.
Amen.
What about reading your Bible? How many of you guys get up every morning and read your Bible?
Amen.
How many of you guys get up in the morning and have quality time with the Lord?
Amen.
Well, what about in that quality time with the Lord? Do you ask God to give you a divine appointment? That God might send someone your way. That you might preach the glorious gospel and someone might believe and get saved. We've got to be intentional on being spiritual. We've got to be deliberate to go with the gospel. I believe that evangelism needs to be an everyday effort, an everywhere effort, and an everyone effort. It's just not the preacher's job to preach the gospel. It might be his job to pastor the church. That might be his calling to be the pastor of the church. But I believe this, men and women, boys and girls ought to be preachers of the glorious gospel.
Amen.
It's all of our job to reach the lost. Reach people with intentionality. Man, they went house to house, door to door. The Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. The Bible says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Yes, the disciples were intentionally going into the streets and the lanes, house to house. But we also need to be inviting people to Christ naturally as we are going. Matthew 10, 7 through 8. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. I want you to testify tonight. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, raise your hand. Freely we have received, freely we should give. If you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you ought to be sharing Him with a lost and dying world. Why in the world will we keep Him to ourselves? You know how tragic that is? What a crime that is? Freely ye have received, freely give. We need to be re-gifting the gospel. We need to be redistributing the gospel. And let me say this to all people. To all people. I want to read that verse one more time. Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes and the city and bring in the hither, the poor and the maimed, the halt and the blind. We don't get to pick who we win. We don't get to pick who we tell about Jesus. Not the prominent, but maybe the poor. Not the whole, but maybe the sick. Not the righteous, but the sinner. All people. All people. You know, we live in Clovis and listen, there's probably a bad part of town in every city. Would y'all agree with that?
Amen.
Probably a bad part of town in every city. We live on a certain part of town for my little girl to go to a certain school because she has certain troubles. And so we live on this part of town, and it's the okay part of town. It's not the rich part of town, but it's probably the middle class part of town. We live in a 1973 Pueblo that was abandoned and trashed and vandalized and then redone. We love it. We love it. We're proud of it. It's our investment. Ask me where we started canvassing and knocking on doors. Did we start in the rich part of town, Brother Isaac? Did we start in our part of town, Brother Isaac? We went to the other side of the tracks. We went to the south side of town. We went to the poor area of town. We just wanted to reach sinners. We just wanted to win the lost. And listen, are we on video? It doesn't matter. I don't even care. Listen to me. Let me tell you a little story, and I'm ashamed of this. Not for me, but someone else. We have all these regular class people in our church. Ain't nobody got money. Ain't nobody prominent. We're just regular folks. Kind of like it that way, but I can't get comfortable with it. Say amen. Well, me and my little girl are out knocking doors. And we knock on this door, and this little shy, timid lady comes to the door, and I share a track with her and talk to her about the gospel and talk to her about the church, and she didn't seem very interested. Well, guess what? About a month later, she shows up with her husband, who is the principal of the high school. And one of our members are like, hey, I'd like to get to know them. They'd make great church members. Why? Because of their position? Why? Because of their prominence? That ought not be the heart we have. We ought to have a heart for everyone. The wise and the unwise, the cultured and the uncultured, the educated and uneducated. We need to be reaching the lost with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hate to tell you, folks, we don't get to choose who that might be. Sometimes we got to get out of our comfort zone. We finally made it to the rich part of town. We done knocked on 10,000 doors. Finally made it to the rich part of town. Boy, they got some big old nice houses. They got some big old nice houses. I would be lying to you if I wasn't a little fearful, if I wasn't a little bit intimidated. Man, the driveway's about a half a mile to get up to the door. It's this big old three-story house. But just as God has called me to the poor, He's called me to the rich. And we need to be preaching the gospel to all people, intentionally and naturally. I'll tell you. Let me share. I'd rather a natural contact all day long. I knock on doors because I want to hit every home in Clovis. Amen. But I would rather a natural contact. I have no idea how many people that I've talked to about the Lord over a brisket in the meat department at Walmart. Amen. Could you feel that, brother? Right? I love food. I love food. I love groceries. I love cooking. I love grilling. And I can conversate with someone about something I have in common or a mutual ground with, and then I can slide old Jesus in there. Amen?
Amen.
A natural contact, a divine appointment. But I'm going to tell you, when we're intentional knocking doors, it's door to door, it's door to door, door to door. And that's the goal, door to door, door to door. But me and my boy, we shared a regret the other day. We're talking about lost opportunities this week a little bit. We bowl on a church league on Monday nights. Me and my wife, that's our date night. Not much to do in Clovis. That's our date night. We bowl on a church league, and then Danny, DJ, is bowling with a visitor at church, building relationship. I'm building relationship. By the way, I won his girlfriend, who was a nun, at my kitchen table a month ago. Somebody say amen.
Amen. Amen.
God is good.
Amen.
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 But check it out. We're bowling on Monday nights.
And me and Mandy used to bowl in a church league when I pastored my first church 18 years ago. And our equipment's old. Actually, Mandy's shoes are talking to you, the soles of them, you know. We had to finally throw those in the trash. My right heel came off. I super glued it back on because I'm frugal like that. And then, listen, I'm over here, and I've had this ball 18 years. I know how to bowl with it, right? I remember the owner of the bowling alley. He bought it, and it's like a $300 ball. And he bowled one tournament with it, hated it, and sold it to me for $60.
Amen.
Right? So I've had this ball for 18 years. And the president of the church league, he comes over and he meets me for the first time. He's not there the first night that I'm there. So it's the second night. And he says, "Hey, I see you got your own equipment." I said, "Yeah." Kind of proud of my old ball, you know. And he's like, "I see you know how to work with what you got." I said, "I don't know about that." And he goes, "Would you like an upgrade?" You know, he feels sorry for me because I have an 18-year-old ball. And my shoe's falling apart, right? But it's through this encounter with him. His dad's in hospice. He's looking for a church. Somebody say amen. He met us at the church Wednesday night, and I got to pray with him in the parking lot.
Amen.
And then me and Danny, we buy a ball, right? I got a ball, he got a ball, and we got Alan a ball. $20 a pop. But these balls are foreign to me. It's not my ball. I've been using the same ball for 18 years. I mean, look, I bowl this ball, and the sucker takes a left right off the bat. It's a reactive ball. I don't know how to use it. So Danny and I, Monday night is coming up, and I don't know how to use this stinking ball. And Danny don't know how to use his ball, so we go bowling. And these four teenage boys, probably 16, 17, 18, come up. And we're over here trying to figure out these balls. Well, they come up, and I said, "Hey, man, y'all are welcome to these. We don't know what we're doing either." So they start having fun with us. We start conversating with them. And I tell him I'm a pastor. And I failed to tell him about Jesus. The next day, me and my son looked at each other and said, "What a lost opportunity." How many lost opportunities, how many natural contacts do we not take advantage of? We've got to be intentional on being spiritual. Whether it's deliberately, intentionally knocking doors, sharing the gospel, or as we travel through life, preach Jesus. But either way, we're instructed as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, as God the Father, to go and to preach the gospel, to go out into the city and the countryside, the highways, the hedges, the streets, and the lanes, that we might compel them to come in. I'm a word study guy. I love word study. Look at verse 23. This is like one of the first word studies I ever did. First word studies I ever did. "And the Lord said unto the servant," go again. Amen. Go for the second time. "Go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be full." Listen, yes, we're talking about supper's ready, and yes, we're talking about a house, but I want you to understand it's talking about the kingdom, not the church. It's talking about inviting people into the kingdom, not the church, right? It's real easy to hang a track on the door. It's real easy at Walmart to have a decent little conversation and, "Hey, well, I'm a member of Clovis Landmark Missionary Baptist Church. Here's an invitation card." But I want to share with you something. Nowhere in the Bible, if so, I want you to challenge me. I want you to rebuke me. I want you to correct me. Nowhere in the Bible do I see anybody inviting people to church. They're inviting people into the kingdom. They're inviting people to follow Jesus. They're inviting people to the gospel supper.
Amen.
Y'all with that, say amen.
Amen.
Listen, I think many times we sacrifice the best for the good. Is it good to invite people to church? Yeah, that's great. But how glorious would it be if we invited people to the kingdom?
Amen.
We invited people to the gospel. We invited people to Christ. No, what we like to do, y'all love me, say amen.
Amen.
What we like to do is just invite people to church and let Brother Isaac speak to them. Let Brother Isaac preach to them. Let the Sunday school teacher teach them. My friends, we've been called. If you've been saved, you've been called to service. If you've been empowered with the Holy Spirit and you're a member of the local New Testament church, you've been empowered on purpose to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be preaching the glorious gospel. We need to be going house to house, but we also need to be preaching as we go. Point number three. Investment is required to follow the Savior. Investment is required to follow the Savior. I'm going to tell you something, friend. It'll cost you to follow Jesus. It'll cost you to follow Jesus. Brother Doug, we wonder why people leave. Why they don't stick. How that they come, they get saved, they get baptized, and then you never see them again. Amen. I think part of the problem, I'll say my problem, not on you, bro, it's on me. At the mission, we get so excited when people get saved. We get so excited when they want to follow the Lord in baptism. And we'll accept them any scriptural way that we know how. By the way, I'm very strict. But what I fail to do is get them to count the cost. What I fail to do is to tell them what to really expect. I want you to read with me right here. I want you to read with me. The problem is that we're not encouraging them to count the cost. We're just encouraging them to be church members. We just want them to come and join, but not be disciples. There's a difference in being a believer and being a disciple. Can I get an amen? Amen. We need to encourage them. And we need to tell them the truth that it takes investment. Investment is required to follow the Savior. You must count the cost. Look at Luke 14, 28. You must count the cost. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, the man began to build and was not able to finish. He did not count the cost. We wonder why people fall off. We wonder why people fall out. Because they don't count the cost. They don't count the cost. What about another one? This is biblical illustrations. Look at 31. What about going to war? We talked about building a building. What about going to war? Luke 14, 31. Or what king going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000, or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desire conditions of peace. We need to consider the cost before we lose the war. You know, I think about this, and Brother James can speak to this a lot better than I can, but I have missionary friends overseas. And you know, I think about this, and I think about counting the cost. And I think about how easy we have it in America. By the way, I call my church a bunch of spiritual wimps Sunday. Y'all pray for me. Here it is. We can't even spell persecution. We don't know what persecution is. The worst thing we're going to get is judgment. We care about what people are going to think, and we care about what people are going to say, and we care about getting rejected. And if that's the worst thing that we have to look forward to, there ought not be anything keeping us from spreading the gospel. I think about our missionary friends overseas.
What about serving in communist countries? They're not even able to have a Bible. They're having to meet underground. And people don't make professions of faith, because if they make a profession of faith, then their family will excommunicate them, will shun them. They don't follow the Lord in baptism and say, I'm a disciple of Christ. I'm a Jesus follower. I'm a believer of the gospel. They don't do that. They don't tend to get baptized. Why? Because their business, nobody will patron their business. Nobody will buy from them anymore. Do we have any of that here? We don't. And yet we still don't preach the gospel. Listen, we need to be counting the cost. But we also need to be making a commitment. I'm telling you, it takes discipline to be a disciple. We must count the cost, and we must make a commitment to following Jesus at all cost. To following Jesus at all costs. We're going to hurry up. Look at Luke 14:26. Got to count the cost, and we got to make a commitment to following Jesus. And making that commitment to following Jesus, we must be willing to love Jesus first and most. Amen. If any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. What's he saying? He's saying, I read that the first time. I was like, what in the world is that talking about? I'm supposed to hate my father and my mother and my wife? That is so contrary. The word hate there, it doesn't mean hate. It means to love less. It means to love God most. It means to love God first. And listen, I'm going to tell you, the two greatest commandments is to love God and love people. And you're not going to love people the way that you should until you love God the way that you should. Amen. We've got to be willing to love God first and love God most. Number two, we must be willing to identify and suffer for Christ. We must be willing to identify and suffer for Christ. Luke 14:27. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. The word bear there, it means to endure. It means to take up. It means to carry. And listen to me, he bore my cross, and I should be willing to bear his also. I should be willing to identify with Christ. Listen, I understand that none of us enjoy suffering. And I know there's different takes on this, and this is my take, and if I'm wrong, Lord, forgive me. But even our Lord Jesus Christ did not enjoy suffering. He prayed in Luke 22:42 to the Father, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine. He prayed three times that cup of suffering should be removed. Nobody likes suffering. But sometimes suffering is part of God's plan. Sometimes suffering is part of God's plan. How about the cross of Calvary? I hate it, hate it, hate it, absolutely hate it, that Christ had to die for me, that he had to suffer for me, that he had shed his blood for me, that he had to sacrifice his body for me, that he had to give his life for me. But praise God, I'm glad he did. Sometimes suffering is part of God's will. And we've got to be willing to identify with Christ and suffer for the sake of the cross. Christians don't only suffer because we've done wrong, but many times we suffer for doing that which is right. 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. Y'all ready for heaven? Say amen. Amen. But none of our sufferings can compare to the glory of heaven. Amen. Romans 8:17, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. And if children, then heirs and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present world, present time, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
This little minor stuff that we go through here on earth, it does not compare to the glory that we will see in heaven.
Amen.
None of us should be ashamed to suffer. 2 Timothy 1:12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed. Somebody say committed.
Committed.
Unto him against that day. 2 Timothy 1:8, Paul admonished Timothy, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. He was willing to suffer for our sake, and in return, we should be willing to suffer for his. Favorite verse in the Bible, Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation.
Amen.
And that's just part of it. Listen, we've got to be willing. We've got to be willing to love God first and most. We got to be willing to identify with Christ and take up our cross. Number three, we must be willing to forsake all and follow him. Look at verse 33. Verse 33, Luke 14:33. I'm going to teach y'all some Spanish tonight. Y'all ready for that? We must be willing to forsake all and follow him. What's he say? So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsake not all that he hath cannot be my disciple.
Amen.
That word forsake in the Greek, it means to say adieu. Y'all ready? And in Spanish, you know what it says? Say adios. Right? What do you say? Adios. You say bye. See you later. You forsake it. You leave it behind. I want to ask you, are you willing to forsake all and follow him? And by the way, I don't think that's just for preachers and pastors and missionaries. I think if God calls you to do something, you ought to be willing to forsake all and follow him. Listen, I didn't write this Bible. Say amen.
Amen.
I didn't pen these verses. But in all three of them, there's a pattern. And at the end, if you're not willing to do it, you cannot be my disciple. We need to be willing to follow Jesus for the right reasons. Everybody say this with me. Motives matter. Motives matter. Let me ask you, why are you following Jesus? Why are you here tonight? Why do you read your Bible? Why do you pray? Why do you do what you do? Religiously speaking, why do we do what we do? Let me read a little something. Listen, Jesus said in John 6, a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. Right here in the Bible, he's saying, you're following me for miracle's sake. Right? You're not following me because I'm the Messiah. You're following me for the miracle. John 6:66. For from that time, John 6:26. Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye eat of the loaves and were filled. I'm going to tell you, they had wrong motives. They were flawed motives. Their reasons for following were not right. Whether it be for the miracle's sake or the bread's sake. Well, how do you know? Let's read 6:66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You ought to be following him because of who he is, not what he can do for you.
Amen.
We need to be following him because of the person of who he is. the person of Christ, the Son of the living God. I'm telling you, if we're following Jesus for any other reason, it's wrong. We need to be following him for who he is. In closing, will you count the cost? Will you count the cost that Christ paid for your salvation? Will you consider that tonight? And will you accept the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? I pray tonight that today is the day of your salvation. I pray tonight that someone will repent and believe. I pray tonight that someone will become a Jesus follower. Will you count the cost and consider the payment that Christ paid for your salvation? Will you count the cost that it'll take for your service? And when you commit to following after Jesus, being willing to love him first and most, being willing to identify and suffer for Christ, by being willing to forsake all and follow him, are you willing to be kingdom-minded? Are you willing to be kingdom-minded? Listen, I'm going to heaven, and I want to take as many as I can with me.
Amen.
Because you know the enemy? He's going to hell, and he wants to take as many as he can with him. Folks, we're called to be witnesses. We're called to be preachers, heralders of the glorious gospel. We're called to preach the gospel. We're called to be disciples. We're called to be kingdom-minded. I'd like to ask for a song of invitation. Brother Isaac, if you would come.
Let's stand together. Brother Cummins, I want you to consider the scriptures that we looked at. We talked about this last night. If you missed it, you need to go back and watch it. The question was asked. We talked about, is there a place at the table? You see, the people who were there for the meal where Jesus was, they thought they had a place at the table because they were Pharisees and they were lawyers and they were good and they were trusting in their own righteousness. And they thought, well, I've got a place at the table because I'm an ancestor of Abraham. My lineage, my ancestry, it's because of who I am. It's because of how good I am. But Jesus said, there's a lot of people. They've been bitten. They don't have a place. That there are those who are very far from the master's table, and there's a place for them. There's a place for all of us.
That's right.
But it's not our works. We are not good, but we can have a place at that table because the master has invited us. Like he's paid the price. If you don't have a seat at the table, you can by putting your trust in Jesus. And we all know someone who doesn't have a place at the table yet. By the grace of God, we can go to them, we can love them, and we can share with them the grace that God has given to us. If he's convicting your heart, you come right now while we sing.
Page 544.